You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Stu, you really should go no hat, man. You look good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There's no bit here, no shtick. You look much better.
Thank you.
I wish I looked better without a hat.
Yeah, it's a good improvement.
Thanks. I'll do it more often. I got a lot of praise for it. Smitty said she hadn't seen me. Are we on the air? Smitty said she hadn't seen me without a hat since 2010. And so I...
Also never seen you wear a color.
I am wearing a color. You're right. It's usually black or gray.
You've been in for gray.
New York, right?
Yeah, black or gray.
You guys were making
fun
of...
purple today.
Making fun of him because of the Northwestern purple, saying that if Northwestern were smart, given how Stu got... wears clothes, drapes it on him, and hides in it because nobody has seen his face since 2017. He just hides in his clothes and his hat. That if he should go Northwestern purple all over the place, and that Northwestern, in a time of teams competing for marketing and advertising dollars, would be wise to send him a box of stuff.
Oh, they'll be sending us all boxes of stuff, I promise you. You guys will be able to put in your orders, your sizes. I need your sizes. I'll be getting you everything.
I don't like your end point on this.
Okay.
And
I don't blame you.
You guys should be careful about this because I don't know what Stugatz
is
angling for at Northwestern, but he was thrilled the other day. I was happy to see his daughter send him a picture of her in the Northwestern locker room with her own locker, you know, at the top of La Crosse. Like, that's a big school. But I would fear Stugatz as my father, both on campus, if I were her, just bothering students by being himself.
I'll do that.
And coaches. Mike, how do you think this is going to go with the coaches of that? You think he's going to sit it all out when it comes to his daughter? If there's a playing time controversy somehow, I know his daughter's too good for that. But if there's some sort of controversy with the coaches, how do you imagine that one's going over?
Well, Stugatz is a high end account. So he knows that he has more leeway than other parents because Stugatz is one of the best lacrosse coaches in the nation.
Thank you, Mike.
And he's got a talent factory down here.
Yep.
So you can't necessarily insult Stugatz and say, hey, you're kind of crossing the line. You're getting too involved because that's where the talent is.
He's also got a...
You all right?
He's also got a microphone and the ability to scorch the staff at all times.
I'm not going to do that. I have to respect the fact that my daughter's there. We're just going to fit in. I'm another dad. She's another player. We're another family. That's it. That's what I promised my daughter I would do. I would not get in the way, and I'm not going to get in the way.
But how did it go on campus?
And by the way, she's being coached by the Belichick of women's lacrosse. Like, who would I mean, seriously, you think I'm going to call the Belichick of women's lacrosse and complain about anything? I'm just grateful she's there. Academically, she has no business being there. And so I am super grateful that she works so hard and that Northwestern recognized what a great lacrosse player she is and a great kid, that they accepted her to their wonderful school.
2010's Belichick or 2020's Belichick?
That's a good question. when they were winning championships.
When we were in Tahoe, Jay Billis made fun of your benign, useless golf advice for Mike.
Yeah.
Are you like that in lacrosse? Do you just give generic stuff? Or are you like genuinely a good teacher of the sport?
I'm a good teacher of the sport.
Listen, I'm sorry for doubting you, but it just...
This is a non-traditional lacrosse state. Lacrosse is generally played Maryland, New Jersey, New York, okay? Like the Eastern Seaboard, Maryland up, okay? This is not a traditional lacrosse state. And the girls worked really hard. But I took a team from South Florida, a non-traditional lacrosse state. I'm the Belichick of lacrosse coaches. And we won back-to-back national championships. We didn't lose a game for 2 years. In fact, those girls have not lost a game in 2 years. They're going to lose more games their first year in college then they lost two years with me.
I suspect,
except Rachel at Northwestern, because they're winning a natty. I'm telling you,
this is why I don't think you're going to be able to be quiet. It's easy to be quiet now when your daughter's sending you photographs from the locker room, excited to be there. If she's not playing, hasn't it already been bad on campus with you, just wandering around? Haven't you already embarrassed her just walking around campus?
I mean, when we were moving her in, I told the baseball player who was kind of peeking in, hey, keep it moving. This is the room where everyone strikes out.
We need to find him and talk to that kid. It's a terrible joke.
It was. But he kept it moving.
Stu, I'll support Northwestern women's lacrosse, but that's where I draw the line. I'm not rooting for any of those other dorks to win anything.
Really? Dorks?
Love your daughter, though. She's
thanks.
Great.
Her best friend is there.
Well, that girl's fine too.
Okay, good.
Are you
is she
anti-
in the J school?
Everyone's
she's
a little
metal
bit
screwer.
Everyone's a little bit anti Northwestern, right?
Well, that's just because of Mike Greenberg.
Well, not over here. Anid is a Northwestern alum. So,
okay, but
if anything, it's Wilbon, no?
Okay, well,
for this show.
I still got people.
What about
Wilbon.
Ravel? Didn't he go there too?
Oh, my gosh. You're really hurting Sue's chances right now. I'll wear a hat.
You're coming to a game with me, right?
Yeah, Sugats has no idea what the lacrosse calendar is, by the way. He's like, we'll go to Soldier Field, maybe Lambeau, and then watch lacrosse. I'm like, isn't the lacrosse season in March?
Well, no, there are fall games coming up.
I'm not going to watch lacrosse preseason.
What do you mean?
I'll be there for the Final Four.
Mike, they have a game at Notre Dame the next night. The next night, Notre Dame-Clemson. Friday night?
If it's a Canes home
game,
I'll be there.
Is that the night you're not sleeping at Golic's house because Jessica is?
Yes, yeah.
You're sleeping at Golic's house?
She is.
Jealous.
Jeez.
She's coming. You weren't here yesterday. We've got something for you, Mike, on you not being here yesterday, because we realized yesterday the scales fell from our eyes, and we realized that you've been a propagandist for a couple of weeks and that your information on University of Miami football, which was startlingly accurate, informed, and thorough when you began reporting on Miami, and I've said this before, I covered, my first job was University of Miami. I was pretty inside the program because I had access with the players. I've never seen a reporter in this town as inside the program as Mike is. Furthermore.
Well, is Mike a reporter? I mean,
I was a reporter then. I'll give you some information.
You're going to admit it now? You were a reporter then, but you've now morphed.
I'm not aspiring to objectivity. I give the school plenty of resources. I'm investing in the future of this program. I'm not objective when it comes to Miami. I was just, my whole thing when I was reporting on the crystal ball stuff was there were a lot of agents of chaos portraying Miami as this huge national mess, and that they didn't have an idea of what they were doing with their AD search. And it was just perpetuating Miami's reputation, and I knew it to be false. So I was really, in an effort to clear the air, I was really just trying to tell the truth, and through that, I just got more and more in the weeds and ended up reporting Mario in Miami.
But you are a reporter. You're just not behaving like a reporter. It is clear the last couple of weeks that you're not objective. You came back. You weren't aspiring to objectivity either.
No, that's a fair assumption. I'm not objective. I'm a homer. I give to the program. I love the University
but
of Miami.
But your information, you have another responsibility, which is this show, and not just the content on this show, but not to turn this show into your own personal Mario Cristobal press conference, which is what you did twice on Monday in taking him one game at a time process while we were trying to make fun of you for going up to Texas for three field goals.
Yeah, I'm a little confused as to what you guys want from me, because I annoyed the audience in 2018 with how passionate and into it, because they gave me an Orange Bowl, right? And I was mad. And now when I apply like a rational view of where we should be, that's crazy for you guys too. In what world is losing on the road by one score at a ranked team something to throw your arms up in the air and demand firings and changes of offensive coordinators? Like, come on. Let's be like a little realistic here. It's a slower build.
Whittingham says he's out on Mario Cristobal as a coach.
That's an absurd thing to
Whitty
say.
Whitty is just doing this thing where he's like, I'm out on Tua, out on Mario.
You've made judgments on coaches in three games. Yeah. Why can't Whittingham do it?
Yeah, because, my judgment is we were one score within one score at a team that has pumped more resources than anyone in the sport into their football program over the last five seasons. I think they're close. I took Saturday as a step in the right direction. They didn't get bullied in the trenches. They just didn't score touchdowns. It's okay. Hopefully they'll be better by the time November comes around.
I don't want to, though, re-legislate the game and whether or not they're close or not close. Texas A&M is not good. They were one of the mockeries of the sport the week before.
Don't do this thing where you say Texas A&M isn't good. Texas A&M lost
to Appalachian State,
Mike. Yes, I understand. And Appalachian State lost to North Carolina. We can do this. Texas A&M lost two straight and then beat Alabama last year. We don't know what Texas A&M is. We don't know what anybody is right now except for Georgia.
I know Texas A&M's offense isn't any good.
Bama won by 1 point at Texas.
Win's a win.
Well, Stugatz, you're going to keep doing this, and it's going to frustrate me all season.
Do what?
The thing you do where they haven't beaten anybody unless they've beaten Alabama.
Well, they haven't.
You're going to only pay attention to Alabama.
Yeah.
This year, you're going to pay attention to Georgia. But we had to beat that out of you because last year, Georgia hadn't beaten anybody.
And then they played Alabama and they lost, right? But, and then they beat them in the national championship game.
Yet still shaved my head.
Yeah.
While I understand that this is going to be your analysis again this season, and I'm going to find it fundamentally useless, I don't want to re-legislate the Texas A&M Miami game because we already talked about it too much because you get entrenched in these positions of supporting the program. The thing that we had not realized as a show is that now the information is running through a filter that is less accurate than the one that was talking to us before, because you're going to be predisposed to frame things in a way that are positive to the university, even if they're not.
No, that's the same guy. I was always a Canes homer. The only difference is I'm more invested.
My point is that you're less likely to turn on the program after three
games.
Because
I have relationships?
Yeah, because of all
of it.
Are you
going to rip the coach when you, Mike?
Who are you talking to?
Mike, when you need to rip the coach, are you going to rip the coach? Like whenever you feel.
Who are you talking to?
I know.
You don't think I met Manny Diaz before? Like, yeah,
but I would say I do agree that this is a new. Like, you reported on the Mario Cristobal stuff. You didn't report on the Manny stuff. Like, this is a new season for you. Like,
I gave Manny the benefit of the doubt year one, and then he lost in North Carolina. I was out because I never really had that much faith in him to begin with. And now I'm in a position where I'm a little bit more influential when it comes to University of Miami. I genuinely believe that the program's heading in the right direction, and I don't think Saturday is a step back. This is rational analysis. Where you want the irrational stuff, I'll give it to you because of the bullshit that Barstool pulled by just making up a quote that Tyler Van Dyke said. Tyler Van Dyke said, "We don't have a college atmosphere." Accurate. We haven't had a college atmosphere ever. We didn't have a college atmosphere when we won 58 straight and sent an NCAA record for home wins. We're not that town. We have a student body of 17,000 kids. That's half the size of FSU. No one nationally knows what a historical outlier Miami is. They don't understand. We are not this college town that's going to have 107,000. If you want to hold on to that banner, I understand. Texas A&M has 107,000 for most of their games, and they haven't won a national title since the 1930s. Miami is a pro program. They play in the best facility in the nation. For FSU and big conference games, they'll get respectable crowds. When they had the best team of all time, they got 30,000 against Temple at the Orange Bowl. We know what Miami is. They split this market support with four other teams. It's hard for them. They also clear the very low bar of having seatbacks at their stadium, so you know exactly how many teal seats are empty over there. I saw Louisville's crowd. I've seen FSU's crowd over the last few years. I've seen Gainesville crowds when that program is down bad. I see USC crowds that still, when they're cooking, get 45,000 to their games. It's fine. Miami is what it is. It's never going to sell that place out. To expect them to sell that place out when they really should be playing in a stadium that has 40,000 maybe is absurd.
I was going to point out there's another power school that has fewer students enrolled than Miami. But then you did the same thing with the seatbacks again. Yeah. You really hung up on the seatbacks. What is the deal with the freaking seatbacks?
They're killing him because
optically, it makes for a worse look. You know exactly how many people are sitting there.
That's right. You're a power broker now.
Tell them to change Hard Rock Stadium.
If you have empty benches, it still looks like there's no one there.
It's a little worse, but it's optics. Miami is never going to be... it's absurd to assume that Miami is going to be this place that regularly gets 60,000 fans.
I mean, it is a slight tone change from you. Like, week one, you were saying it was going to be like an epic, like, atmosphere first game.
I said they were going to have a great crowd for Bethune-Cookman. They had 56,000 people, and you still found a way to make fun of the crowd. 56. When 56,000 is 12,000 more than their average.
Who was counting?
The stadium that they play in makes it look cavernous. Yeah. They don't have the student body or the alumni. How many UM graduates do you know?
But Notre Dame has like half of the enrollment, and they also have the Subway alum thing, and they still sell out games.
Well, Jess, I appreciate it. Yeah. It's not apples to apples, Notre Dame and Miami.
I agree, but like the enrollment thing is like, yeah, I get it. It's smaller.
It's also
but...
South Bend, Indiana. Like people congregate when it's the only game in town. Miami has a million different things going against it.
It's actually like harder because you travel for it a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're in the
look, I'm not going to defend the people that don't go to the games. They should be going to the games. The excuses are gone. I have gone to the vast majority of the games since they moved into that stadium. No one knows how sad the attendance is compared to what their expectations are more than I do. People need to go out there. It is fair banter. Let them have it. If they want to gather in their nothing backwater college towns and celebrate that they have more people than Miami, go ahead. Miami will win a natty in the next 10 years, and they will still get 30,000 to a game, and you'll still want to tear your hair out.
I welcome your obnoxiousness actively annoying the audience on behalf of the Canes fan being relevant again just because the Canes fan is obnoxious.
Well, what do you think is happening there? When Barstool runs with that article, Canes fans, even though they don't actually show up to the games, they get engagement online. They put up numbers. People care about their attendance more than they care about UCLA or USC. It's not necessarily a fair fight. You don't apply that context at all because people don't know or care about the context.
They tweet stuff like that because they know Canes fans are going to do what you're doing and react to it, and they're right about that.
They should be.
It's college football too. Everyone shits on each other. That's the whole point.
FSU,
it's a very reactive fan base.
I know. Like, well, I've seen FSU Twitter all of a sudden pretend like they're the 12th man. Like I haven't had eyes for the last 8 years.
I mean, they're back,
Mike. We're 15 minutes now into this segment, and because you are making an appearance at every turn to spew the UM viewpoint, I'm now 15 minutes in, and I have yet to ask you what I'm trying to ask you, which is...
That's bad hosting.
You should have asked it already.
I've been trying. I've been trying to get there while setting it up for the audience. At every turn, he's there with his fists on his hips like a super homer to tell me why the back seats in Aqua are bad. Like, at every turn, he's there with the most obnoxious viewpoint.
But I know your
I've
point.
Yet to get to what I want my question to be.
Okay, that I'm tainted by bias?
Mike, when Deadspin began, when they began, and they were their edgiest, they were billed as reporting without access as a point of pride because of how the access and the relationships contaminate impartiality. Until now, you have been on the UM beat. You are getting money from super followers who now know you are a source of very good information about the program, a program that not a lot of people have very good information on, a program that is now a player and is spending money. You're a power broker. You now have that access as Whittingham comes in here three games in and is done with Mario Cristobal because he doesn't have that access. He went to the school, but he doesn't have all those relationships. You would never do that because you're invested, you're compromised, you're emotional. And what I'm asking you is, where does it have to get to? Because you say, don't you know me? I'm emotional. I fire Randy Shannon. I fire Al Golden. I'm not sure in this instance that you're not going to be last to the party on whatever Canes fans end up saying out loud about consequences because you're embedded in the movement to bring Cristobal here with that Columbus crew. You were embedded in the movement to make sure that he got here, and he is now coaching as if he thinks that the pressure of the world is on him. He doesn't think that he's got a ton of time. He does not have the perspective that you do after losing at Texas A&M. He feels the heat of this and is coaching this team as if he needs to win right now, even though it's not so.
Is there a question coming?
Oh, he's a maniac, and I will absolutely say it. You'll start hearing it from me when they come in below expectations. My expectations entering this season was They'll probably lose at College Station and at Clemson. If they find a way to split that, I'll be on cloud nine. They'll drop a dumb one, and the expectation across the board, Mario on up and Mario on down, is an appearance in Charlotte that Miami has only made it to once. Qualified twice, decided to opt out because of the Nevin Shapiro stuff. I'm just saying that one time.
Okay.
I love you calling him the power broker like he's Robert Moses or something, Dan. I'm still waiting for the question, though. Is your question right, whether Mike is now on the take? Because, yes, he has admitted that he donates money to the university. Clearly, like, if you're a political reporter and you're giving money to some business that you're also reporting on, like, people would consider you not the best, you know, most credible reporter.
Are you upset that I'm not firing Mario right now?
Witty has the wildest take. Like, yeah, being totally crazy out on Cristobal. So, like, I'm more with Mike than Witty if you're making me choose.
If I was firing coaches when I wasn't giving the program that much money, how pissed off do you think I'm going to be when they start coming in below expectations?
Are you going to report on bad news? That's all I want to know.
How compromised are you is my question.
I'm just asking you a question.
My question is,
there hasn't been bad news to report on.
But when there is bad news, will you let us know first?
I think this accusation gets thrown at even like Adam Schefter gets it about Brady. Oh, he won't report on Brady because he's a Michigan guy. I think it's a fair question. Like, would
how compromised are you? Are we going to get information that we're going to always have to be discerning about it being run through the Homer filter to make the program look better than it might otherwise because you're an investor and a booster in the program?
I think people know exactly what I am. I don't think I really have to explain what I am. I have a UM avatar on my Twitter account. Yeah, I
or love a ridiculous Canes cowboy hat.
Yeah, I didn't do that this time. I take on the identity of my coach. This was a business trip. There's nothing for me to be super emotional about right now. I don't understand. I mean, I understand what you want from me. You want that guy from 2018?
I just want to know. You'd know what I wanted from you if I could get through what it is that I'm trying
to frame.
I'm
giving you the answer. You're asking me, like, do you have to worry about me, like, giving you objective news when there is some? When there is,
you chose on Monday to protect the program over protecting this show.
No, I chose rational analysis. Stop accusing me of that. That's bullshit by you, Dan Lebitard.
Mike,
no, they lost by one score at a stadium filled with 107,000 people.
Mike,
that program has given more to their football program than any other school in the nation. Jimbo Fisher has an $85 million buyout, for heaven's sakes. There are five stars all across that field. I'm not going to be super emotional and firing folks like Chris Whittingham did after a one-score loss. I wish they scored a touchdown. I also wish they had receivers. They tried. They didn't get receivers. They lost a game, and I think that they'll be better come November.
Chris Cody, what do you think the name of the Texas A&M coach is?
Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, boy.
My point in saying you chose the program over the show is you came in. We were doing the show. We had done the show for 2 hours. You came in, you landed, you gave all of your opinions on the game. The show stopped for you to give your opinions on the game. And then in the post-game show, you again gave your opinions on the game. We covered the holy hell out of Miami losing, and you were the entire time. Your information was basically fighting the people all weekend who wanted your tears because Miami lost. And that's where I say you chose the program over the show, because usually, and yourself,
usually Miami loses that game by 35.
That game did not deserve for us to talk about it as much as we did. We only did because you had flown
in here. Listened to that show. Tua completed 7 straight completions, and you went for an entire show with it. Like, we talked about it in a post game. I gave rational analysis. When there's time to be irrational, I'll be that guy for you. When there's time for there to be news and you want inside information, I'll give you that too. But I want the program to succeed. I have faith in the program, and I actually viewed Saturday as a positive step. Sue me.
You're comparing what Chris Cody has called, and not that he's an objective reporter either, the greatest victory of his lifetime, the best the Dolphins have ever made him feel.
Amazing.
You're reducing that to 7 completions off of the Ravens game. But when we say we reduce the Miami game to 3 first downs, you counter with we had, or 3 field goals, you counter with we had 27 first downs.
Yeah, look at the golf. 27 to what, 15? They should have scored a touchdown. It was bad. Do you think that they should have went for it inside the 5?
Yeah.
They should have brought in Thad Franklin. Is that what you want? I'm being fair here.
Chris, I love you. Like, it should have been Jim O. Fisher. No?
I mean, I think the game can be played any way I want to play it. Like, it's breaking up a name how I hear it. It doesn't always have to be an O. Like, I get it.
You went Bo.
Yeah, no, but it was like Jim Bo Fisher. Like, Bo was his middle name. Jim Bo. You know,
the game can be played just misinterpreting the name. It can be Jim, Bo Fischer, or like
game.
You can play it like. I mean,
I'm just trying to help you out.
Not
like
everyone involves an O. Like, just, well, I'm Crisco.
But the O was right
because
there.
The O was there for you.
I'm Crisco.
Right.
Tay.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Don Libertard.
Punctuate this segment with what is your strike three call?
Well, strike one would be strike, and then you stand up and you give a good point to the right.
Stugatz.
That's same for strike two. Okay. But strike three, you get down low. You got your hands behind the catcher. All right. The right arm goes up into the air. Yeah. And then you finish it with the punch. The right arm flings way up into the air. Yeah. Yeah.
I like wish I could see that. It's terrible. The audio's great.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
How excited are you? We do not do this around here very often, Chris Cody, because I feel like the Dolphins have had a couple of days to enjoy. We're the team that matters in the league. Hooray, everyone's talking about us. It's been 20 years. But they're headed into a buzzsaw, and all it is that I'm hoping for is that Miami is too hot for the Bills in the fourth quarter, because I want to be optimistic about this, but Buffalo has looked so overwhelming that it tempers my enthusiasm on previewing what would be the game of the weekend. And I wonder if the country is also still just saying the Baltimore game, yeah, we saw it, that was interesting, but it was a quarter and you were down at the half, and I've seen how overwhelming and impenetrable Buffalo looks. So I'm riding with Buffalo coming down here. And what are they now? Minus six? Are they?
Minus six, I believe, yeah. 5.5, 6, something like that. But they've outscored their opponents 72-17, two games in.
Rams and Titans also. It's not just outscoring opponents. It's outscoring opponents we've seen be good last year.
I hear a lot of people saying the Ravens lost that game. The Dolphins didn't win that game, which is ludicrous. The Dolphins went out and won that game. Tua had a great fourth quarter, had a great game. And I'm a little disappointed in our staff because I'm, as a show, okay, we finally have an exciting team and an exciting game in our backyards. And all we're doing here is, hey, I hope it's too hot for Buffalo in the fourth quarter. It's a home game in the NFL. It's a big divisional matchup. The Dolphins could easily win this game. And I'm disappointed because you guys are saying, hey, I'll take 35-32. I'll take a loss. No, go out and beat the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this is a big game. We should be excited for this game.
I agree with you. Football is going to football. They've had two big blowout wins. They're due to have a close game. But Stugatz, they've been by far the most impressive team so far. So I'm going to take at 2-1 with this tough schedule to start the season. If they play any kind of close game, I'm not going to be disappointed. Unless Tua just looks terrible. But I'm confident that with McDaniel, I'm with Stugatz. I think this is going to be a close game.
Okay, so you're not as scared as I am of Buffalo coming in here.
NFL's going to NFL, Dan.
Well, home dogs have been very good. Whittingham has noticed in the first couple of weeks that home dogs have come in, and he has won some money betting home dogs, but he was worried about getting Miami this week. because you don't ever want to bet the home dogs with a lot of confidence. I don't feel like they're home dogs. When Chicago's playing
San Francisco, dogs for a reason.
When Chicago's playing San Francisco at home, this kind of home dog, I don't think there have been many. That it's not, the money is coming in on, oh, we don't believe that Miami is as good as Buffalo. And while you do the very easy thing of taking the position for our local audience, Hey, the NFL is hard. Football's gonna football.
Uh-huh.
There are good reasons to be scared of Buffalo.
I can make the argument that you're taking the easy stance, saying that Buffalo, clearly the best team so far, is going, like, you're nervous about that. Like, we're taking the more difficult stance, saying that this Dolphins team can compete with Buffalo.
Yeah.
So,
Seattle over Denver, Geno Smith. I mean, stuff happens in the NFL, Dan.
I'm not sure.
Home dogs also lose.
Football's going to football.
I know. Oh, I know, Mike.
Yeah.
I like pounding favorites on the road.
There were two home dogs last week, and they split. One was the Jags, who haven't lost to the Colts at home in like 8 years.
The Cowboys won as a home dog. The Saints lost as a home dog.
There were three. Yeah, there were three.
I think there was another one in there somewhere.
Yeah, we don't know what to expect entering this game. So I think being optimistic about Miami's chances is a good thing. And you'll see what the gulf is. You'll come crashing back. If you win this game, you could actually start having division conversations. There's a scenario inside, because of how that sport is, that Miami could be the second best team in this conference, as plenty of teams have been over like the history of the AFC North over the last 20 years. And they're not going to get a home game the entire NFL playoffs. So there's huge implications to this. Josh Allen always plays well. You want to count on it being too hot for the Bills as a strategy. It's always been hot for the Bills when they come down here. They haven't seemed to have much trouble with that quarterback.
My skepticism is earned, Chris. And the reason I'm asking the question the way that I'm asking it is because I'm surprised that you're not still scared. That one quarter has now allowed for you to go the entire other way of not being scared of this game when being this game. Your entire adult life, the Dolphins get exposed in this game when they play St. Louis in the greatest show on turf, and they're like 6-0 or 7-1 or whatever they are. They always get exposed in this game. They rarely show you, oh yeah, we're the cream of the league after 3 weeks. We're going to have everyone talking about us because we just knocked off what was clearly looking like the best team in the league.
Look, the Dolphins... If I'm ever going to feel confident about this game with the Bills, it's going to be after last week's game. Like, that's it. Like, I'm with you. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. The Bills are scary as shit. But I'm feeling high after this game, and I just want them to keep it close. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm just kind of being a hopeful fan right now. You're saying this Bill team is scary. That's why McDaniel should be saying to his team, this is our moment. If we win this game, like, I know everyone's kind of thinking,
he's saying that.
Was it the Ravens? Was it us winning? Like, what happened last week? If you win this game, no matter what the game looks like, then you are going to be, okay, this team is something. So, like, you have a chance to make a statement to the league on Sunday.
If you're just breaking down the numbers, though, in terms of pass efficiency, Buffalo is the best defense in the league. In terms of getting to the quarterback, they're one of the best defenses in the league. Their quarterback is really good when he faces pressure. Tua's in the 20s right now in passing efficiency when they get home and he has to make a play in there. In terms of a matchup, I'm just looking at matchups. There's a reason why the Bills have played well against Miami. They match up well, and this is the best incarnation of the Bills that we've seen. I think there should be a lot of points. You can be excited if Miami keeps pace. If they get out in front, you'd trust a Mike McDaniel running game to keep the league, but the running game has been bad this year. I think that's a main surprise for me, how bad the running game has been. I don't think they can keep that pocket clean because they haven't necessarily shown it yet, and Von Miller and Greg Rousseau and company have been super disruptive. So I'd expect Buffalo to win this game, and I'd be encouraged if Miami can keep pace.
The key to containing the Bills is to keep Josh Allen in the pocket. I'm interested to see how the Dolphins' defense, with this style of like 7 or 8 guys up at the line, and like 6 of them are going to come, one's going to drop back. I'm interested how that will contain. I wonder if they'll switch it up, maybe not show as much. I don't know the X's and O's on how you contain Josh Allen, but with the Dolphins blitzing, they blitz, I believe, still more as much as anybody in the league. So I'm just interested how that will work.
Who are you going to bet, Stugantz? Because
I'm taking the Dolphins.
You love taking big
to win the game outright.
You love when you said earlier
money
this
line.
Week, Josh Allen has mastered the position, is what you came in here and said. And the reason I keep going to Chris Cody on this is because I'm so used to Dolphin fans tempering their expectations so it hurts less. I've become used to the I know that sports is supposed to be about hope. You hope about your team, and the Dolphins gave you more hope last Sunday than they have in many years. But very often the scarred fan protects him or herself against disappointment by lowering the expectations. Sure. Chris Cody, you're all in, buddy, whether you know it or not.
Well, he's saying keep it close, Dan. That's lowering expectations.
I think his expectations are actually higher entering this game. I think he's moved up on his expectations. But if you want to talk about expectations, you're talking about the Buffalo Bills, where the expectation is Super Bowl or bust.
Right.
Buffalo.
You just want us all to be miserable, Dan.
Yeah.
I want us all to hate our football teams.
I don't want to be scared. I'm excited.
I'm in a pool where I have to take spreads, and they've picked the biggest games in the one. So I'm assuming Dolphins-Bills is going to be that game. I'm going to take the Bills.
I'd be insulted on behalf of Dolphin fans, too, by the way, because the national game, I also think that this is the biggest game of the football weekend, but the national CBS game in that time slot.
Packers-Bucks.
No. The national TV game on CBS in that time slot
that slot,
is Chiefs at Colts.
Yes.
What? It's a slap in the face. Yeah. It's a slap in the face. It's Bills-Dolphins right now. Battle for the AFC East.
It's not just that. It's that they're going to put on television as much as they can the guys who are making the standard harder than it's been for Tua. They're going to put on the Mahomeses, and I would assume in the future, Josh Allen and the Bills may have caught them off guard as an explosive franchise that's going to start scoring 30 and 40 points a game. But Josh Allen and Mahomes, Stugatz, you have the perfection of the position from the previous incarnation, which is Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and they're still playing, holding on to the end of how the position has been played the best. But it seems pretty obvious when you're watching either Lamar Jackson or
Tua
or Josh Allen. Well, Tua's not in there yet.
I mean, 6 touchdowns.
All right.
So the NFL in passing.
I want so badly for Stugatz in the bucket of death to get the Dolphins on the first pick,
because
I think he's going to throw it right back. I think he's just playing the popular position.
I'm not, Dan. This team is – listen – they have two really good wide receivers. Mike is right about the running game, because really the best defense against Josh Allen is the running game, is keeping him off the field. Mostert got it going a little bit last week.
Or going shot for shot with him like Mahomes did.
Or listen, if they go shot for shot, that would be amazing. I think we'd all be excited, even if they lost that game. I'm just saying it's a big game and we should be excited. And you have a new coach, and in his first two games as a head coach in the NFL, who'd he beat? Bill Belichick and John Harbaugh. Like, we should be excited for this.
It's big. If they can get a couple impact plays early on and Buffalo becomes pretty one-dimensional, I'm not even sure that's better or worse for them, because they struggle more running the ball. You almost want them to feel like they have some kind of control for the game so they can let you creep back into it. I don't really know. And from a betting perspective, if I'm looking at the efficiency stats and how the historical matchups have played out, I think Buffalo is a play, but I'm not going to play them. I'd say the over. It might be the fun one to take right now, because I don't see any way you can stop Josh Allen, at least based off of this year, right? Miami's defense hasn't shown you, well, no defense has shown you that they can disrupt Josh Allen, not the defending champs and not the defending one seed.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Because I'm staring at Stugatz, and I believe that he's simply playing to the local audience. I'm staring at him, and he's moving his face and back to me.
I can't even look at you.
Because I don't know if he's sincere or not, and I question so much about him in general, and Dolphin fans have questioned so much about the Dolphins in general, that a swaggering bravado headed into week 3 is something that I don't totally trust. But Roy, you're just going to go and watch another movie on Sunday, right?
It worked last week.
You're going to what? Just explain to me. Last week, you were not watching the Dolphin game last week. You were at the movies. I don't know if you even did what Chris Whittingham did, was rewatch the game when he hadn't actually watched it because he felt the need to be informed. You came in here with takes on what was the movie?
The Woman King. Excellent movie.
What are you going to be doing on Sunday? Is the game meaningful and big enough? Juju, what are you laughing at? Is the game meaningful and
these
big enough?
On Sundays.
I bet that was hilarious. Instead of watching NFL, he went to see The Woman King. Salute to The Woman King. I see you, sis.
What are you going to be watching on Sunday, Roy? Are you going to get dragged somewhere else?
The way things are looking since the Dolphins won last week, I might have to do the same thing. Just go on a streak.
Same movie. Yeah.
I don't know about the same movie, but
same theaters, same everything.
Yeah. There are no theatrical releases this weekend, so it has to be the same movie.
If it's going to be Superstition, you have to go see the same movie, Roy. It can't just be a different movie.
I saw a stat that unders are crushing through the first 2 weeks. I believe if you bet every under, you're 22-10.
Wow.
That begs the question, do you bet the unders this week, or are we due?
I love the do theory.
None better than a good do theory. Yeah.
I assume that the over number is always 3 or 4 points higher than it should be, just because nobody loves betting unders.
You know what's weird is that Witty has been touting this home dog theory. I was betting home dogs are due for the last two NFL seasons. I had very bad seasons. Yeah. It seems as though the NFL this season and the last few years is becoming have and have nots. I don't really trust home dogs that much this year. I think they're home dogs for a reason. I hate betting spots with bad teams because the bad teams always find a way. Do you know how many Washington football team bets I lost just betting the spot? The home dog has to win this one. At this point in the NFL,
they're plus 6.5 at home this week.
I think something happened with the Rams, like cracking the code that draft picks don't necessarily matter and the cap doesn't really matter. Let's just go all in on talent. Buffalo is supremely talented. Well, it'll be interesting to see if Gabe Davis plays and you have Jay Kumerow out there instead. That does change the
game. That's big, right?
When is Ed Oliver coming back for them? Because their defensive line, Von Miller, I don't understand how that guy keeps looking fast at that age.
Rousseau to me, like we know exactly.
You have loved him for so long.
I was so mad that the NFL allowed Greg Rousseau there. You've seen what they've done with Ed Oliver out, is they played Rousseau inside a little bit more, like he did at the University of Miami. Rousseau played inside and outside, and he was as effective in both spots. The pressure that he got on Monday night, there was a play there. They got there damn near before the ball did from the middle. They have such a great athletic D-line, and if they have a healthy Ed Oliver, that's even more problems for Tua, who, like you could say this about almost any quarterback, except for maybe Josh Allen, when under pressure, less efficient of a quarterback right now. I believe Buffalo to be that defensive line to give this offensive line trouble. While it's improved, at least in the pass game, in the rush game, not at all. Rush game, you might as well have Ahmed back there. Like, it's still like the same lack of production right now. They might have found something with Mostert being the guy.
What was he, 8 carries for 51 yards? Like, you'll take that from him. You just don't want that to be your leading rusher necessarily.
I want to bring us back to the Canes real fast. Witty just texted me, harsh to say I fired Cristobal. I said I'm personally out, which I don't know the difference. It seems like a weird distinction for him to make.
Let's get Chris Whittingham aboard. Yeah. What do you mean by that, Witty?
Witty's off today, and he's dropping in from his home.
Let's go. Speak for yourself.
Come on.
But he was doing a work from home day, and now we're bringing him in as a special guest to clarify something that is saying the same thing. Whether you fire Mario Cristobal or whether you're personally out on Mario Cristobal, I don't know
the distinction
being made there.
Ed Oliver said he's ready to go play. I don't know if he's playing, but he said he's ready to go play.
Maybe his oven light is good.
He said he's ready to go play.
I just like it as analysis. We'll see what happens, just as general analysis.
That's all I have on this front, Dan. Yeah.
He said, oh shit. So
he was listening to the Low Show in the shower.
Yeah.
His bad.
Yeah. I mean, learn how to do a remote.
I've had him taking a shit, like with his phone.
He'd be so angry. You know how mad he would be at me right now?
It was a little echoey when he answered.
You had him naked in the shower. Why is mine so much worse?
That's so true. You're right. I'm a hypocrite.
Listening to the Low Post podcast.
It sounded like he was in a bathroom. Huh. If I had to tell. Maybe he's wiping right now.
All right.
I'm a morning man as well.
Shittingham. Shitty. Thank you.
You know, the other game I hate to bet is, and I do it all the time, is Seahawks and Titans when they're plus 10.
Make me watch that.
Oh, man.
No, but
I'm just kidding. I'm going to watch it.
I sometimes do just because I'm like, I hate this bet. I hate everything about it, but 10 points. I got to take 10 points, right? And then the games happen the way they happen. I'm like, I knew that was going to happen. That's why I didn't want to take the bet of 10 points. I don't want these 10 points. Stop tempting me with your 10 points.
That's why they set the spread there for you.
Thank you, Stu Gatz. I know that.
Titans are tanking, right? That's what the plan was? It seemed like that at the start of the season.
No, it's not. I mentioned Derrick Henry. AJ Brown, losing him, obviously. You lose both those guys, and then Tannehill. We reckon recognize that Tannehill. How many of those Tannehill games?
But it was a very confusing approach because then they signed Robert Woods, Bobby Trees. I don't know. Maybe the deal was just too good to pass up. I know they have Willis behind Ryan Tannehill.
The offensive line, I know they lost their left guard and Taylor Lewan was hurt last
week. But I feel like we say this about Tennessee like often, and then they win the game that they have to win like this weekend, and then they go on a little bit of a run, and they're a two seed in the AFC.
You say this often. Tennessee does not start seasons
0-2. Mike, that division's so bad, though.
And under Mike Vrabel, they do not start the season 0-2.
I'm just saying, of those four teams, Jacksonville, the Texans, the Colts, the Titans, I still trust the Titans the most. Such a bad division.
There was somebody that bet the Jaguars, like $80,000 on the Jaguars to win the AFC South. And I was like, wow, who does that? And then I was taking inventory of what I've seen in the AFC South right now. I'm like,
yeah,
that's not that bad of a bet.
I just realized something. Woody wasn't in the Zoom. We're on the Zoom on Woody's Metalark account, and we were talking about ourselves thinking we were Chris.
We were Whittingham because our name was Whittingham. So that microphone going up and down wasn't him shitting. It was just us talking about him shitting.
Whoops.
Woody, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Why are you out on Chrisoball?
And where were you?
Yeah.
I'm watching the show. We have a feed where we can watch the show where I'm not actually in the Zoom. So I was watching you guys while not actually in the Zoom. So why am I out on Cristobal? I just think he's overly conservative. Mike, actually, some of the things that you've outlined as things that you like about Cristobal are things that I dislike about Cristobal. You've kind of said that he wants to slow the tempo down and bring back more normal pro-style football. That's just not for me. I don't like that stylistically. I think he is very conservative. I think a lot of people who follow college football and follow him at Oregon know that he is very conservative. That is just not my style of coaching. I don't mean to say that I intend, like, I would fire him if I were the UMAD. It's just not for me. Okay. I don't like it. I will not probably be renewing my season tickets next year.
What is your style, just out of curiosity?
And my style of coaching is trying to win 56-49 every week. And fun and aggressive and using the skill players available to the University of Miami by virtue of the fact that they're in Miami. I want to have a fun football team. I don't think that Mario Cristobal will produce a fun football team, and I also think it will fall short because ultimately you're not going to out Alabama and Georgia. I don't think that they can.
It's going to be more fun when they get some of the best players on the field. I understand that you want to light it up offense, but Rhett Lashley going 3-and-out in 13 seconds is how you lose that game by 30 points. Right now, you would admit that they don't have the weapons on the outside. It's going to take a few classes to stack the talent to get to the point where you can score 70 points against the likes of Southern Miss because you have really great talent. Alabama and Georgia, it's funny that you mentioned that because they've had some conservative offenses too, and they still blitz teams because of all the talent that's on the field, and I think that's the approach right here. If you don't have the skill to get the first downs when you're using 12 seconds on the clock, you might as well keep yourself in the game, and that was always going to be the strategy against Texas A&M. Say what you will about how disappointed you are in that outcome. I hear you. I wanted to see them score a touchdown, too. Texas A&M, there is a massive talent discrepancy between those two teams. This is year 5 of their program. They'll get closer, and then you'll see some of the explosion when the players get
to
better.
To clarify what it is that Whittingham is saying overall, just clarify all of it, he was not shitting. We were talking to a box in the Zoom. We did not clarify that. Okay, let me clarify the other things we did clarify then. Just to be clear, he doesn't necessarily want Cristobal fired, but he himself is personally out on not only Cristobal, but the program at the end of the year, but you're good with Cristobal keeping his job.
That's the distinction
you're making between I'm personally out on him and I'm firing him.
Canceling his season tickets.
You have fired
because
him.
Because they're not running a fucking spread.
This is sports radio, Whittingham. Let's go.
But Whittingham has fired him emotionally, but not personally and actually. Is that the distinction you're making between he's fired and I'm personally out on him?
Correct.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.